You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. It is Locked On Jazz for the 4th of March, and I might even upload the right episode for you today. The Jazz go to the All-Star break with a flurry of furious comments. Say that 10 times fast. A loss to the Philadelphia 76ers, and we'll take your questions on a Twitter Thursday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Well, we didn't go to break with nothing to talk about. Both Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert go off after the game last night. Quinn Snyder says it more elegantly, and the Jazz will be the talk of the league for the next day or two with their comments heading to All-Star break. I'm on like my fourth take of the show. I clearly need All-Star break. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I've like missed the Michelob Ultra read to open. I said the thing wrong. Yesterday, I uploaded the wrong episode. Maybe I need a break. And I think there's some of that actually universally across the league right now, that everyone is at a peak of exhaustion. Officials, players, everyone's been like pushed to their max. I think that is a little bit of from a big picture, from the Devin Booker ejection the night before, to the Montrezl Harrell, to the Donovan Mitchell, to the Rudy Gobert. Just this has really been hard and long, and a lot of games in a lot of restrictions and a lot of testing and a lot of lack of control of your life for all these players and all of us, but just isolate their experience. That so I think there's some of that going on. Let me say I'm not a whine about the officials foul guy. I really don't believe it, actually. I didn't think last night was particularly well officiated. I'm actually not convinced it was uneven whistle, because I'm never convinced it's an uneven whistle. You know, a few years back, the Jazz changed the way they were playing, and I thought, and Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck charted, you know, everything imaginable, as they do as a very well-prepared front office. And, you know, I thought they had a gripe that the league had not adapted to the way they were playing. And so, therefore, they were getting an unfavorable whistle. Like, so I think that's really interesting. Like, hey, wait a sec. We're playing this way. You're not calling the game the way we're playing. We're playing differently than other people. Like, that, to me, has some validity on the whistle. I thought that was really interesting. Now, I think there's also, you know, an argument of how, like, whether or not that can be unproductive in the sense that you suddenly believe that you're being screwed because your style of play, and then you feel this kind of anxiety about it, and right? Like, it's a hard, fine line of like, well, how much do we push this, and how open are we about this? And but, you know, I think that our front office did a pretty amazing job on that to try to show to the league, like, hey, we have an issue. So I think that's, you know, I think that's real. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. Like, I guess my biggest point is if you go and watch a game tonight that you don't care about. So, you know, the Golden State Warriors play the Phoenix Suns tonight. You're not going to think the whistle was bad. You're just not. Denver plays Indiana. You watch the game. You're not going to think the whistle is bad. You only think the whistle is bad when you're emotionally involved in the game. The one that's telling to me also is, as a play-by-play announcer, is that when they moved us off the floor, I stopped thinking the officials were as bad as I did when they were on the floor. There's so much contact on every play. You can call everything. Like, I've seen the videos that Ben Anderson and Andy Larson put of Mike Conley's drives to the basket, and, like, I guess those are fouls, but I thought they were letting him play most of the night. So, and the offensive foul's a bad call. there's probably four or five bad calls against the Jazz too. I know that's not what you want to hear. However, and last night didn't feel great. Like I said in the broadcast, this one's going to have Jazz fans being sour. What is newsworthy is the comments of both Donovan and Rudy, and they're really newsworthy. They're really a big deal, frankly. And the fact that we have, like, there's a bunch of different angles you can take on this. Donovan snapped. Rudy, from what I understand from listening to the Jazz postgame show, basically decided he wanted to come out and have a little bit of his skin taken in the game too, which is pretty interesting. That basically the Zoom was done and then Rudy came out to have his say. And frankly, I cannot find the Rudy video anywhere. It's not up on NBA content either because the Jazz didn't upload it. 1280 The Zone doesn't have the audio anywhere, but I can't navigate that site for anything. So I don't know, like, it's an interesting kind of moment. So there's a bunch of different angles here. One is like, okay, the Jazz spoke out. They decided that as Rudy says, like, we had to say something now or before it's too late. And there's this great bonding amongst the group, and they've got their common enemy, and they're moving forward. And that's, you know, that's really good. And that maybe this, if you really believe that the Jazz are getting screwed on a nightly basis by calls, then maybe this will change it. I doubt it. Like, I'll never forget, you know, the night after Rudy Gobert got his technical fouls and went off about the officials that he got a foul on the jump ball, right? These guys are human. You lay them out and publicly embarrass them. I don't think it usually leads to any benefits, despite the idea that what Rudy's talking about is that Mike Conley's such a nice guy and doesn't get any technical fouls. And so therefore, you know, we're too nice. Maybe. And I think there's probably something to playing in a game next to Doc Rivers, who never shuts up. Golly. Every game, every play. I love the guy. He's incredible. He's been amazing for social justice. He's incredibly thoughtful. He's wonderful to deal with as the media. He's maybe a good coach. I have no idea. He won't shut up about the officials the entire game. And as Ben Golliver pointed out on Locked On NBA, that's probably more prominent in a quiet arena. And so you sit around feeling like you're getting screwed because this guy will never shut up. All right, here's what Donovan had to say after the game.
Got a little chippy. Just how frustrating is this one for you?
First of all, I've got to, you know, give 76ers credit. They played a hard game, you know. Joel does what he does, and, you know, at the end of the day, they're a good team. We competed, but it's tough, KK. Like, it's tough to go out there and see how we fight and compete and to have a game like that taken from us. And I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost. But this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't get frustrated, you know, we fight through things. And the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, you know, like we won this game, in my personal opinion, you know. But like I said, I'm gonna give them credit, they won, whatever, cool. But like, this is it's a consistent thing. And, you know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are. And it's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happening. You know what I mean? We have a whole second half of the season to go and get ready for, but like, I'm sick of it. To be honest with you, we all are. You know, and I think this is something that just, it eats me. It eats at me, man. And it's, y'all know what it is. We all know what it is, but it's really getting out of hand. It's really, really, really getting out of hand. And the league needs to do something about this because I want to see the last 2-minute report. I want to see.
There's two parts to this that jump out. And then Rudy's comments are similar. So there's three things that jump out. There are a lot of things that jump out. So one is, it's give them credit. They're like on message, right? They like Rudy, we're not able to get some calls that everyone else in this beeping league gets. We know that we're the Utah Jazz, and there's some people that don't want to see us go as far as I possibly can go. It's disappointing because I believe the Sixers played a great game. I don't want to, you know, they're a good team. Give them credit, but I believe we deserve to win. When my guys are getting fouled three times in a row, Mike Conley's going to the rim. They're grabbing him in front of the officials. There's no call. On the other side, there are calls that are invisible that are made. I think it's disrespectful to the game of basketball to our team, and as you know, hopefully they're going to watch the game when they go home. We all do. I watch it too, but hopefully they'll feel shame when they watch the game. Rudy was pretty good here. We know that you know we're a small market. Here's the killer line. We know that you know when you're a small market. I don't want to say that, but I really believe it. After playing in this league for 8 years, it's a little harder. And that's one thing that we've got to overcome. That's why I told you guys, you know, that when you're a small market, we got to go be better than just better. We've got to be elite. We've got to control what we can control. But it's very disappointing to be disrespected like that. Especially when my guys, you know, we work so hard. It's the last game of the road trip. We're in the position to win the game, and then they just get disrespected. It's not just one play. This was Rudy's real shot. Because, you know, we all make mistakes. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the officials because I think it's a tough job. I think you know that I think they try their best, and you know that there's – but you know there's just too many. It was too obvious tonight. They can't make it that obvious. We're going to watch the film, do all that, keep getting better. We just deserve a little more respect, you know, as a team, as human beings, for all the work we put in. Hopefully we'll get it in the second half of the season. So there's a few things here. All right, let's dig into it next. We'll come back with more. Today's show is brought to you by my good friends over at Intercap Lending and Steve Carter. And the great work that Steve Carter does over at Intercap Lending. It's been a pleasure to be involved with Intercap. Brock and their group does such amazing community service events so that you just know that, you know, their heart is pure. And then you add in what Steve Carter's done for so many of our clients and our listeners. And the fact that we have our own loan officer allows us to get such great service. Steve Carter is a walking five-star review from Carl Weinstein, our CEO, to the guy who needed something over President's Weekend that I've told you about. Give Steve a call, 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Tell him you were locked on. He's your own personal loan officer, and he'll be amazing. It's just that simple. There's no questions on Steve Carter. He's rising to the occasion every time. Intercap Lending, NMLS 190465. For more information, visit Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending, they service their own loan, long-term relationships, better for customer service, means that they embrace change, they're hyper-responsive, and we got Steve Carter for you. So call Steve, 385-885-28, 385-885-28. Locked On Today is your new daily podcast on the gambling world, Locked On Bets, 15 minutes every day. It's brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest, easy way to bet on your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL all going on. In fact, I had a whole conversation with Ben Golliver about whether or not on a future BetOnline bet, whether or not James Harden should be, is an NBA MVP. Embiid is plus 190. James is plus 220. Jokic is plus 375. Doncic is plus 1,100. Harden's plus 1,200. I think Harden's going to be the MVP by the end of the season. I really do. I think they're going to win 30 of their final 35 games, though. Well, you can decide what you want. I'm not telling you what to do, and I'm not allowed to. So BetOnline, as you covered, score stats, best way to place your bets, and free to sign up. Head to the website, use the mobile device, whatever experience you want, but make sure you use the promo code LOCKDOWN to receive your 50% welcome bonus. It's BetOnline, your sports online book experts. I want to make sure we get to the game because I thought the game was great, but this is obviously taking the headlines. Here are the things that are interesting to me on these comments by Donovan and Rudy. All right, one, it could be galvanizing. That could be great. Two, they're very unified. It's not like they thought about this for the first time. It's not a great look for the league to have two of your all-stars claiming that if they had a different uniform on, they'd be officiated differently. And frankly, it's not a great look for us. Like, it's not great to know that our players think that because they play for the Utah Jazz, they get screwed. Right? And Donovan's comments were, and Rudy's comments were much more than just last night. Like, those comments both stretched to, this has been going on for a while. We deal with this all the time. We know what to expect. Like, this idea that you as a player can't get a fair shake if you play for the Utah Jazz, this isn't great. Like, Ryan Smith is trying to rebrand Utah, rebrand the Jazz, make us a destination. Dennis, Justin, Quinn, and the group have done an incredible job. Dennis and Justin, the front office, Quinn and his amazing coaching staff, who will represent the West, and the way Quinn conducted himself last night. Trying to make this an appealing place despite some real hurdles. And then you have this, right? Like, this doesn't help. So that's not great. It's not great for the league. It's not great for us as a franchise that our players think that. And, you know, the next question is, like, how do you ever know if it's true? You have all the two-minute report stuff. There are the 40-minute reports, but it's so noisy data, right? You know, did you get more bad calls because you actually played? It's got to be calls per minute. Like, who played the most in two-minute reports? Then it has to do with style of play. It's just a lot to it. But it's not great that our best players feel the way that they just felt last night. It might be great that they expressed it, that they're galvanized, that they're together. I don't know that it'll have an impactful change. And as I said to open the show, it's definitely an undercurrent to the league that this exists, right? Like, I've said it. Like, well, they don't want Utah and Milwaukee in the finals, right? We've all said it. It's not great that that's even said. And that's problematic. On the other end, as I said, I'm just not a big game-to-game believer that, like, the officials always get you. But what I do think is really important about it is where we are right now, and then I want to wrap on that. Our players think there is. And that could be really corrosive, or it could be really galvanizing, and time will tell. All right, this was a great game. Unfortunately, I mean, this was a great game. This was two really, really good teams going back and forth, possession by possession, and frankly, their star was better than ours. Embiid outplayed Rudy late. Embiid was 4 of 12, and Rudy's the closest defender. He was 12 of 37 the 2 years before that. He was a combined 16 of 49 with Rudy guarding him until he came back in the fourth quarter, and he was remarkable. He was really, really remarkable. That was an MVP quality performance by Joel Embiid. And I don't think, for all of his massive numbers, he had actually shown that this year. But 40 points, 19 rebounds against Rudy Gobert, that's a wow event right there. I mean, you got to tip your hat, and that's what you kind of heard, I think, also from Donovan and Rudy, is like, wow. Embiid, who kind of played on the outside for the first half of the game, was shooting some. In the first quarter, he takes three long twos. He hits both of them. He takes three in the third. He hits one of them. Or in the second, he hits three in the third. He hits one of them. Like, he's playing outside. He doesn't take a shot at the rim in the third quarter, and he comes back in the fourth quarter, takes four shots at the rim, and hits two threes. Pretty awesome. So that's the first part. Their all-star was just better than ours. In overtime, they go and take the ball out. Interestingly, after he's been that great, they take the ball out of Embiid's hands, and they go right at Bojan Bogdanović with Tobias Harris. Jazz leaded. Donovan's hit three free throws on what was a bad call, by the way. Two or three free throws. Donovan probably shouldn't have gotten that foul call. Harris hits, goes right at Bojan, scores it. Harris goes right at Bojan, scores it. Jazz forced a turnover. Harris comes back, scores it again. Harris scores it again. 4 of 5 possessions. Tobias Harris is the answer for them in overtime. Pretty wild. We started switching Royce over to him. This gets to another prop. This is an issue that we've talked about with the Jazz all year. When somebody has two wing scorers, we only have one wing defender. And that's tough. And do we need to go make a move and go get someone in that regard? Maybe, but then, you know, who's not playing? But I would say if the player I actually highlighted the other day was Al Farouk Aminu, I would have, but he has an extra year on his contract. Orlando's not going to buy him out. I just would have thought he would have been a great minimum buyout. He's making $9 million. He's got another $9 million next year. Orlando's not buying him out. But that type of player, not a great shooter, not a great dribbler, not a great passer, but versatile enough, he could probably guard three different positions. The other one is, you know, we're not very good in overtime. Like, we have played the least clutch minutes of any team in the league. We weren't bad in clutch on the way down. Like, the final 5 minutes of that game, it's 106-104. Curry hits a three. Royce misses that layup with 5:02 left. If you got to go from that point on, we score on every other possession. They hit some shots, right? Embiid buries a long three. Embiid misses, gets his own tip in, which was kind of awesome. Embiid driving layup scores. Embiid hits two free throws when he's fouled. And then the prayer three with 6.5 seconds left. And Conley misses. Like, it's, you know, it was a great game, and you're just kind of getting into make or miss at this point. This was really two of the best teams in the league going head-to-head, and you get into a little bit of a make or miss game, which I know is, like, the most annoying but that is kind of what happened last night. Like, they hit one shot, Joel Embiid's three. We hit a ton during the night to give us the lead. I would guess if I went to the game report on that our QSQ was pretty good and theirs was pretty bad. QSQ being shot quality, and then QSI would be the ability we shot over that, you know, we had better shot quality than they did, but they missed a lot of shots. I mean, it might have straightened out by the end of the night, but they were, you know, 3 of 18, 3 of 19, 3 of 20 for 3 for a lot of that game. The other big question I think that has to come about us is, can we still run late? Like, we got really isolated to Donovan. It was Donovan every play late in that game. And one of the things that Quinn has talked about is, can we play the same way in the final 5 minutes of an overtime as we did throughout the game? Now, part of the problem is if you're taking the ball out of the net, it's hard to run. It's hard to push. But I don't think we got a lot of push, though we weren't bad, but I don't think we got a lot of push in the in the Boston game earlier this year and in some of the other games. We talked about where we shot in the shot clock. If you run through our final 5 minutes, Gobert shoots with 4 on the shot clock. Mitchell shoots with 14 off the shot clock. It was not an early possession. It was off a dead ball. Mitchell shoots with 13 on the shot clock, hits a 3 on a no-pass possession. We had a lot of no-pass possessions last night. We had a lot of plays last night that I didn't think were very tight. Bogdanović hits the 3 on a beautiful Conley assist, 15 off the shot clock. So we're playing middle of clock. Gobert gets a dunk on a beautiful ball movement set play that was absolutely fabulous. I mean, absolutely fabulous. 14 on the shot clock, 14 off the shot clock. So we didn't play early. We played middle of the shot clock. We're good at that. That's great. But it's not playing fast. By the way, I looked it up. Actually, both teams, strangely enough, their shot quality was better than ours, and both teams shot the exact same above what they should have been expected last night. Actually, Philadelphia a little better than ours. So even though we took a ton of threes, they lived at the rim. They took 22 shots at the rim to our 13, even though we took more threes. So basically, shot quality on last night's game was about the exact same on both teams, and the ability to shoot above shot quality was about the exact same. So that was just a great game. It's too bad that it ends up both teams move the ball over time, so both teams threw over 300 passes. It's a lot of great stuff that took place in that game. Embiid hit a shot Conley missed. Like, to some extent, that's what that came down to. All right, Twitter Thursday. Who is our Michelob Ultra player of the first half who brought us the most joy? I will point out, I thought this was a great point that someone tweeted at me. One, Zach Campbell said all the above. And another one I thought was a great tweet that said, you know what? Like, it's a team joy this half of the season, not an individual player. Right now, of our early voting, Jordan Clarkson leads at 65% for our Michelob Ultra player who brought the most joy in the first half of the season. Donovan, 15. Joe, 10. Rudy, 10%. But I think it's a great question. Like, this whole team has brought joy to us and brought enjoyment in watching what they're doing. Michelob Ultra with their 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. So are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Michelob Ultra, bringing joy and happiness with 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends over at Rock Auto. Rock Auto, with their unique search features, bringing you reliably low prices, great selection, prices the same for a do-it-yourselfer as they are for a professional mechanic. They're always the same for everyone, and they're always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear or what the inventory bears. Rock Auto is there for everyone and does not require membership or account login. It's rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. Locked On Today, your daily podcast on the sports world. 20 minutes every day. Take you through the biggest stories, updating everything that's going on. All right, let's get to your questions. The biggest question is, you know, is there concern of the Jazz having lost 3 of 4? Not really. You know, we weren't, I thought we were pretty good last night. Like, I didn't think we were, as I said earlier this week, I didn't think we were sharp earlier in the week. Thought we'd slipped. I thought we were really good last night. And we made a few possessions. Joe had a back-to-back. He was brilliant for the game. He had a back-to-back sequence. It was not great. Donovan threw a pass over Rudy's head. We had some defensive rotations where we kind of didn't quite have it. We didn't start well. You know, but for the most part, we were really good last night. So no, I mean, like, you're in Philadelphia, you're playing a game that goes down to possession by possession against the team that, you know, they're 15-3 when they have their starters. They've lost one game all year when they have Shake Milton as their sixth man and their starters. They're really good. You played them to the wire. I think that just, that's fine. And then you're frustrated after you afterwards. And you let go of the rope a tiny bit earlier in the week. I don't think that's that big a deal. I mean, I think the same things we've talked about all year long is, you know, one, we don't have the experience, so we don't have like 13-year veteran. Two, you know, can we keep the pace up late in games? I thought we executed okay late in games. We actually, our efficiency was okay. But can we? And three, you know, if somebody has multiple wing scorers, that's kind of an issue. William, why don't coaches bring in subs and OT? Seems like fatigue was a problem in last night, plus Ingles might have been a better defender than Boyan and Simmons. You know, they don't. This goes back to like that 4 overtime game with Ty Corbin. He never subbed anyone out, and they end up playing like 37 minutes straight. Like, there is a point where you probably sub. It's probably not in the first overtime unless you have a reason. I mean, the Jazz closed with Boyan last night. I mean, because Boyan's a 42% three-point shooter, and all the same reasons that you've been playing Boyan in the clutch the whole time is because he's, you know, he's a fabulous shooter, and he gets you your shots, and maybe the day is going to come where Quinn decides that you're playing Joe Ingles as your 4 late in games in the playoffs. There's a little bit of a desire to probably not play Joe Ingles in a lot of minutes during the season as a 4, so he doesn't wear out. Royce O'Neal really kind of plays that 4, but because of the uniqueness of Ben Simmons, you end up with that having to do that. The Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert lineup that you would go with in that question has been great in the limited time it's played. So maybe there is a chance that we'll see that lineup a bit more as the season goes on. Why do we stop passing in crunch time? It's not just Don, it's Bogey, Conley as well. We don't pass like we do all game when it's close. And in crunch time, is the defense of us. Why do teams feel like they must play iso ball in crunch time? Ryan, this is a great question. This is from Wade on Ryan. This is the question for the Jazz. Can they not get caught in that game if they try to play possession by possession against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Anthony Davis and LeBron James in just kind of that power one-on-one basketball? I think we lose. And so you're right. This is a fabulous question of whether or not the Jazz can find a way to do that. And part of it, though, is you have to get some stops and not take the ball out of the basket. The Jazz have done a nice job on other nights doing that. Tonight, maybe not as much. Donovan was really brilliant, and then it came off the rails a little bit at the end. So we'll see. DJ Vinyl Richie says, was this loss the best thing that could have happened for us? Easiest schedule in the league, left extremely pissed heading into the All-Star break. Sounds like a winning recipe. We'll see. It's either going to galvanize or it's like a coercive fact that they think the world's against them. Philip says, not basketball related, but what plans do you have for the All-Star break? I will try to ski as much as I can. I will get some rest. I'm tired. Not badly, not anywhere near like I'm tired if I travel, so it's fine, but a break would be good. I'm still running the podcast network. It's been a busy last few months. I think my daughter's racing up in Sun Valley, so I'll go watch that, and then might go see my son. He's up in Jackson, so we'll see. We'll go figure it all out. Kathy Ballard says it should be illegal to have an internet power outage for hours for a Jazz game like Comcast did last night. Thanks. And she listened to the game, so thank you. Those seem to be most of the kind of main comments. There was a good Dick Bavetta line in there from the other night. It's a great first half of the season. It's too bad it kind of ends with that. I mean, this was really an unbelievably great first half of the season. Matt ends it out with, does Utah need another player via buyout, or can Oney or Brantley play 10 minutes a night and give us defense? I'm fascinated with Brantley. What can he do as the fifth best player on the court? I'm pretty fascinating with, I'm pretty fascinated by Brantley too, but I'm not sure he's the answer. Oney's, I'm not sure, big enough to guard someone like Tobias Harris. It would be, yes, I think it'd be nice if Quinn had another wing defender as a quiver to use if he needed it in certain circumstances. But that's tricky because you need someone who's going to play, who doesn't have to play. Like, it's not a rotation player. I don't think you're taking George DeYoung out of the rotation. His shooting, and he's actually been really good defensively for lots of it. So it's a really tricky thing. You're trying to find someone who's all right coming and playing like in case of emergency break. And I think that's a tricky, tricky one. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Friday show. We'll do our at the break points gained and see what the fallout is from today. It's all coming up tomorrow. Right now, tell your smart device to play the latest edition of podcast Locked On today.